silver and more. Oh. Romans 2. Anybody have any response to yesterday morning's Bible study? Huh?
Besides me.
Did you have a response?
Yeah, I emailed it to you.
Well, I know, but it's not... It's not for private. It's for...
Oh, well, that's what I said. I was waiting for others.
Oh, okay.
I did.
What?
I was thinking about it this morning that one of the key scriptures is the essence of the gospel, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. And those words have never sunk in, and I'm sure I haven't reached that much depth even now. But the word, the hope of glory, it's like, if that's such an important concept, that phrase, hope of glory, just had never meant that much to me. And it's like it just kicked in, the gears meshed yesterday and started, you know, meaning something. And it I think started when you said about you can't talk about your faith without talking about your death. And those two, along with that other scripture, hope of glory, started making a lot of sense.
Remember we said that in the New Testament, the word glory cannot be used outside of or away from or without the resurrection. And the resurrection is the only thing that by which there is glory. And so, and the same is for the word hope. There's no, the hope is, the word hope is, I think, is only used once in the Old Testament or something. I don't remember exactly, but the word hope is never used in the New Testament for anything other than the resurrection. So it's Jesus Christ in you, the only hope and the only glory. Now, glory is just this word doxa, which just means it means whatever you know you boast about, or you don't think you're boasting, but in truth you are. And so that, you know, and that's when Jesus said, "Don't be concerned about the demons are, you know, glory only in that your name is written in the book of life, and it's only written in the book of life." Because of his resurrection and his presence in you. But you can't hear that, you can't even know that or anything about that until you've seen the need for it. And when you know that you're without hope, without any possibility of redemption or glory, then that then and only then is the gospel good news, because you're in agreement with God. But otherwise, you'll glory in everything else, and it will be, you know, from God's standpoint, it's pure idolatry. Right?
And that it's like the, it's universal, which testifies of it has to be true, because it can never be changed from generation to culture to whatever.
Okay.
I don't know what to say.
Hmm?
I don't know what to say, but certainly the part about no hope and no redemption other than him. And without hope and without possibility of redemption without him. The thing that's still with me because of yesterday is remembering to not trust my thoughts and feelings and reactions and pick them up and run with them and get all puffed up because there's, I mean, everything I see I don't approve of. I'm a judge of everything. And any you know, speck of stuff in the street, and I can, you know, be running for mayor in my head. I mean, it's just endless. But I don't have to. I don't have to buy that. I don't have to go with that. I can see it for what it is. And just let it.
This is why it's so critical to know that you're not a debtor to your mind or your emotions, and you're not a debtor because you know that it is always can only produce emptiness and futility. But you can't know that until you run the rabbit. So you've got to go do everything and push everything. Otherwise, you're just, you know, we said so often, a muzzled dog. Let's read, in order to sort of cement this, let's go to Isaiah 57. No, it's not. We went to Isaiah 4 and Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 9 just a couple days ago. But you're right. We probably go to the Buckner chapter more than any other.
Hey, he won't be here.
Starting verse 4. Against whom do you sport yourself or vaunt? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue, right? Like, and again, drawing out the tongue is another expression. It means sticking out your tongue. It's another expression of the same as holding the branch to your nose. It's a despising. So you don't have to physically hold a branch to your nose or stick out your tongue. But anytime you feel superior for any reason, and you feel superior if you judge something down, because otherwise, by definition, you couldn't feel superior. And in that, you're both sticking out your tongue at God, and you're vaunting, sticking out, sporting yourself, and you're holding the branch to the nose, to your nose. You're despising the riches and the glory of God because of how you feel or somewhat you think. And it doesn't matter whether it's a piece of paper lying in the street or somebody having bad eating habits. You can honestly say to somebody, if you can say it in humility, that, you know, that offends me and I'm, you know, I don't know why, but and if, you know, if you see a piece of paper in the street, pick it up. You don't have to go say, well, somebody should have done that. Or if you see the bricks knocked down in a wall, you don't say, those son of a bitches. You go put them back. Right?
Now you've gone to meddling.
Huh?
Now you've gone to meddling.
I think, well, I wouldn't. I would never meddle. But do you understand the difference? That's why we've had a cliche around here that doesn't seem to work anymore, but, you know, he who sees the need, or she who sees the need. You don't go thinking that, you don't go assigning everything that you see around here that if you want something done, you don't holler at Pete, you go do it. And if you honestly need help, people will help you. Or you don't say to Jeff, go take care of that. You go, do it. Now, all of us are guilty of doing those kind of things. And what we do then is we assign after the flesh somebody that's somebody's job. Rather than operating organically, we operate on a utilitarian basis. Rather than the relationships being expressive and just being, how can you use somebody? And that's why every smallest act reveals whether or not you love your neighbor as yourself. And therefore, every smallest act reveals whether or not you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And when you see that you don't, then you can try, and the first thing you'll do is try, well, I'll do that better, but then you find you're just a muzzled dog and you still think all the crap. And so the only these are the times when you find out that He alone, Christ in you alone, is the answer. He alone is the hope for any solution, for any issue. And it has to be constant. It's never, well, I did that yesterday, or I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior in 1978. Well, nobody cares. That's the merest beginning of the process. But we're taught that salvation is the end. That's just crazy. It's just the merest of the beginnings of sanctification. It's finished in God's mind, but if you continue to act like a Gentile, it's certainly not finished in yours. That's why you're transfigured by the renewing of your mind. So that it's faith that worketh by love. Amen. So he made it in three words or something like that there. Against whom do you sport yourself? And against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression and a seed of falsehood? And the word literally says a sperm of falsehood, a sperm of the lie. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. In other words, you do it in secret. You do it in your mind. And you think you're not doing anything wrong because you're doing it in your mind. Amongst the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. In other words, it's the dust that that's all you're going to get. You're going to continue to eat dust. Just like the snake does, was forever, what?
Every time we read this, I get sidetracked on this. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. I don't get the imagery of that. Does it have anything to do with the stones they put in the river when they went into the promontory?
No. I don't know what I'm saying.
Just something at the bottom of a river?
It's just it's the dust or the silt or it's just another expression for the worthless dust.
There's nothing special about this.
Well, there may be, but I don't know what it is. But I know that it's just the worthless dust that's part of the curse in Genesis 3. You'll be led by your appetites, and all you will eat is dust all the days of your life. That's not very nice. To know that the best you can do is eat dust.
Mix with peanut butter is not bad.
Except if the peanut butter has salmonella. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot, or thy what you get. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering, and hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? And you read. It's you're gaining both the worth from what you do, so you're pouring out the drink offering, and you're gaining sustenance from these stupid little things that have to do with dust, so that's your meat offering. So you understand the drink offering and the meat offering. What?
I'm catching the imagery of this, you know, that this is a simple thing, but if you've ever found a smooth stone and how it excites you and it's wet and it's shiny and you revel in it, there it is. That's your reward. That's all you get. That's the height of your life.
Well, that's what anything you can think about is.
Yeah,
that's what at the point.
Yeah, I mean, that is the point, and it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And yet, in your own being, you think, oh, look what I found. It's a smooth stone.
And you get a pile of them, and then after you die, you have a garage sale and sell them for 2 cents a piece.
Yeah.
to if somebody puts them in their garden.
Okay, now we're getting to the this place of where you have your sweet thoughts and upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Now, what does that mean? Remember the seven mountains or the seven tribes that are the usurpers of the land in the Old Testament? Well, that's a type of the seven mountains of your mind. And on these seven mountains is sitting the Whore of Babylon in the imagery of Revelation. And so the whole... So all the times that you go up to your mind for a solution, you're going up to the high and lofty to find your rest. So that's upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even there is where you went up to offer sacrifices. You got a new idea, a new plan, a new cunning device. This is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to get redemption. This is how you're going to get glory. This is how you're going to be a hero. This is how you're going to survive even. And go up to the high and lofty mountain. There have you set your place of rest. A little bit of understanding?
This is the naughtiest portion of the Bible.
Yeah, because it's fornication.
This imagery is overpoweringly... I mean, it's this is a... He's describing total perverseness.
That's right. Okay.
And it's tied into...
Everything.
Huh? The sacrifice, I mean, you're giving your life to it. That's what you're devoting.
No, you're giving his life to it. That's what's so... Right. That's what's so evil. That's why he gets a little bit angry. And that's why you've got to know the fear of God in order to stop it. Well, first of all, you've got to know its futility. Oh, but I'm a genius. I want a genius award or some crap. Well, the best genius you can be is just another smooth stone, and that's your lot. Oh, but I want to be a really good artist or a really good musician. Well, so there's your lot. Smooth stone in the bottom of a stream. Really little one. I wasn't just picking on Wade and the tree hugger there.
Who's the tree hugger?
Don't you remember the tree hugger was Scott for all those years?
Not that there's anything wrong with
hugging trees. Sometimes a tree needs a hug. That's right.
Just ask Dobson.
Behind the doors also and the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another, and someone other than me. In other words, something else other than God. And the only another that you've discovered yourself to is the God of this world. And art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them, and thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king, small k, with ointment, and it increased thy perfumes. This is what your thoughts are. This is what you're doing. You're just offering an incense offering. The thoughts are your prayers. But which king are you offering them to? And did send thy messengers afar off. Oh, they're way off because they've either gone way in the past. Oh, wouldn't it have been nice if that first girlfriend I had, or my first unrequited love, if she would have loved me, then my life would have been nice. Or... All right, here's what I'm going to do tomorrow, and this is what it's going to look like. You're sending your messengers far off because God is only in eternity, which is now. And so these are imaginary places that you're trying. The only one that's in those imaginary places is the God of this world. and did debase thyself even unto hell. What does that mean? How did you do that? In another place it says, you've made a covenant with death, and with hell are you in agreement? Search it out. Verse 10. This is the part. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope, which is what God has been waiting for you to say all your entire life. You sayest not that there is no hope in all of the mountains of your mind, in all of the stones of the stream, in all of the... And you can, I don't care if you call those stones diamonds or Nobel Peace Prizes or memberships in Mensa or whatever it is, it's all just smooth stones of the stream. What?
Who?
You.
Oh, I'm thinking... I just can't make it if I'm not on this
plot. Of course you can.
No, I don't.
Well, that's because you're in rebellion. If you know the vanity and there's like, nothing about, there's nothing, there, you got to hear this. There is absolutely nothing right about us.
Except that people repent.
Well, sometimes. Well, then you should be the one that makes it happen. The reason that you can't make it somewhere else is because you're trying to make it by yourself. Well, nobody would listen to me. Well, nobody listened to me either. And look at 35 years of work. I've got, look at this.
Yeah, watch it. We both did that.
Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, and yet sayest not, saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. You may be grieved for a moment, but the grieving or didn't lead to repentance. It just lent itself to another cunning device. Now, none of you would be here if you, I promise you, you wouldn't be here if at any point in that time frame you had hope. And if at any point in that time frame you had hope, you may have been physically here, but you weren't here spiritually. Of whom hast thou been afraid or feared? That thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to part. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou still fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. And when thou criest, let the companies deliver thee. Now, who are these companies? It's all of these counselors that you've got in your mind. All these solutions that are going to fix you. And let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them away. Vanity shall take them all. But he that putteth his trust only in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast you up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. And what is that stumbling block? It's universal. It's in every culture, at every time, in every place. That culture, the stumbling block is always singular. It's the great transgression. It's self-realization. You got it? Anybody doubt that that's the stumbling block? What am I going to do about me? What's going to happen to poor me? I don't understand this. Poor me. You can't even describe it without using the personal pronoun constantly. Can you see the stumbling block, and the stumbling block is put there by God to test whether or not you will live in faith. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is truly holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. Now, humble here doesn't mean timid. Humble means empty. You can read the rest of it at your leisure. Anybody have any doubts? Any questions? Wade?
Well, you answered Scott in a certain way that, you know, no, you don't need this block, and you don't need to have some big drama that, well, should I come back here or not? But at the same time, you do need exhortation. You have to be open. We need exhortation.
Well, but if you think you need, all you need to do is to go to be with a bunch of people who name the name of Christ, and then be honest in that environment. They may kick you out, You've at least made available whatever's there. It doesn't matter if you go to a Benny Hinn concert. I don't care what you do, but then be honest. And in that honesty, just be instead of trying to be. And I promise you, in that place of honesty, God will work, because there is integrity in you. You're the same outwardly as you are inwardly. And then the rest is God's business. He doesn't need me or us or this place. That's crazy. And he doesn't need anybody else to believe like we do or to be it. He only needs you as one singular person who's totally yielded to the Spirit of God wherever you are, not trusting in this, not going up to these mountains anymore. And I don't care whether you're in the most apostate church in the universe, you will transform it. Or they'll kick you out.
Either way, it'll be transformed.
Either way, then you will be being, otherwise you'll always be deceived by thinking, well, I've got to go back to the block. Well, no, you don't have to go back to the block. Whatever the block means, whatever that is for you, because then you're trying to get to a Jerusalem that now is. You understand? Then this becomes your Jerusalem that now is, and therefore it becomes something unholy, because you've made it that. Amen. What? You're doing it again. You're taking up the mantle of Gary. Huh?
Sorry. Just thinking that I've become a blockhead.
You're ahead already.
Well, it just drives me crazy when anybody thinks there's anything special about this place.
Well, I hope you don't think I think that, because I know I couldn't make it even if I was here. If I was here, I still wouldn't make it here either. But at least I have a body to die in. But that's it. It is what it is.
It is what it is. But my point to you, Scott, is all you ever have to be is totally you. If you don't have to worry about it. It's not you're not your own business. The only time you get screwed up is when you try to be something you're not. And then you don't say anything because you're afraid you'll offend somebody. And
I'm okay.
All right. I mean, if you want to come back here, that's fine. That's not an issue. But don't come back here because you think this is special.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I know it's not.
Okay. What?
I'm just thinking, if I make a decision, if I have enough energy to make a decision, I make the wrong decision. God puts me where he wants me, and God does what God wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, look at Harry.
Any effort on my part is the wrong effort.
Yeah, look at Harry. Harry never does anything right from the standpoint of the doctrine. He'll leave here, and like 5 minutes from now, he'll get pissed off at somebody because they didn't look at him right.
It's happening now.
Huh? It's happening right now. Because, but he's from God's perspective, he's doing exactly. Or Gary always comes up with some California statement. Maybe he used to. He's not going to do it anymore. But that just always somehow excuses time. You know, we got to do that. And then I'll just go out there and just do it. And then, anyway, it doesn't matter. He's exactly what he should be.
Pictures of sanctification.
Right. It's like none of us. I'm certainly not an elder because I know anything. And certainly Gary's not an elder because he knows. He's an elder because we're elders because that's all we had. We've been faithful.
You know, it's like,
because we're old, yeah, that's right.
We're old, and it's like God is faithful. I was thinking about that earlier. His faithfulness is mind-boggling.
Right, because if we could have done anything about it, we'd have been here. We'd have been out. We'd have been out of here.
Yeah, we tried to. Well, screw it up.
I mean, his promise is always true. If you just sit there and be, he'll do whatever it is that needs to be done. He is doing whatever it is that needs to be done. Just stop kicking against the bricks.
Yeah,
just. Be still.
Anyhow, just again, back to this thing. Love God and have fun. He'll take care of everything else. And again, the love means give breath only to Him, give importance only to Him. Take it, big guy.
I don't have a Voldemort this week.
Huh?
I think it's funny.